Blog Talk Radio.
We're about to take it back.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. The most listened to radio show on the planet.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Tony and Sue Lee on the radio. The love doctor trying to teach on the radio. We about to get live on the radio. Two mics and a mind on the radio.
Radio, radio, turned up on the radio. Radio, radio, turned up on the radio. Radio, radio, turned up on the radio. Radio, radio, turned up on the radio. Two mics and a mind. Two Mics and a Mind.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Two Mics and a Mind. I am Tui, one of your hosts, and I'm joined with Tony and the Love Doctor. How y'all doing tonight?
Yeah, yeah.
What up?
Trying to make it happen.
Feeling good. Looking good.
What more could I say? The truth ain't in that, boy. The truth ain't in him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Today is a good day. Today is a good day.
Hold on. What's the grandmama say?
Grandmama say it's always good to be in the land of the living while the blood still flowing warm deep in your veins.
Wow. That's what grandma tells her.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. I got to go visit grandma one of these days. I got to visit grandma one of these days.
Yeah, go see grandma. Yeah, definitely want to meet grandma.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm telling you what happens is another good day. Because today we are one step closer to gathering and working together to get a plan and figure out what we're going to do to overcome these different situations, these different narratives that's going on throughout the course of the week. A lot been going on, too. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to talk about it.
Okay. Yeah,
that's
okay. Wow. Listen to that.
That's right. It is. Without a doubt. It certainly is.
Yeah.
So we're trying to do something different, isn't that right? You know what's amazing though, with everything going on, I think the scary part to me is the fact that I said out a lot about what we need to do and why it's important for us to make these different changes we need to make, and for our betterment, and for our security. It's amazing how many people don't. I got people respond. I'm talking about. I would have expected a lot more people, of color, to really look at our situation and really look at the importance of why we got to set our indifferences down, and come up with a solution, for the betterment of all of us, regardless of race, creed, color, at the end of the day, when they shoot us, they're not shooting Holiness, Baptist, Apostolic, non-denominational, they shoot the skin, and it affects every one of us. And we keep the divide of the religion and everything else. They use that against us because then we don't conversate and come together to look at the importance of why we need to, come up with a real resolution and stop leaving in the hands of people that don't want us here, people that don't like us, and people that have wrote a constitution, designed a system that's for our destruction. And, that's something we got. Oh, my goodness. I hope she didn't get back on that crack. I try.
No, I'm not.
Folks, all I can do is try. Okay.
No,
again,
I'm not.
You're not back on it. Okay. So at this point, we're going to take her word. She says she's clean. Again, I've heard this story, so, I just had a way to say. Yeah.
Wow.
So, what say y'all? I'm surprised. Why isn't it more people adamant, about, hey, let's set aside. I'm not telling people not to hold you, because my religious belief. I'm 100 with that. That's uncompromised, unwavering. I'm not, going to judge, You know what I'm saying?
Hello? You went out.
Yeah.
Or did you stop talking? Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm saying, huh?
What happened?
No, I'm sorry. No. I'm
okay.
I'm just saying.
You ain't say nothing.
I think your phone that went out. I was on mute.
I'm sorry. I was
I think it was
distracting. I had to I was trying to send out a text to somebody at the same time. But, I mean, like I was saying, my religious beliefs are my religious beliefs. I preach them. I teach them. That's what I live. As far as the common issue of what affects all of us, I mean, that's something we can talk about. That's something we can, you know, we can sit down and we can come up with a solution. It doesn't matter, you know, where you're not, you know, Aubrey, you know, I'm Yehuda. But that didn't make a difference when it comes down to they're killing us. And we have to come up with a solution that, you know, gives all of us that liberty. You know, you have the right. You know, at one time, you know, my belief was, you know, you don't worry about other people. But the problem comes, you know, we are all people, and every person deserves the right to life, deserves the right to liberties. You know, like I have the right to the religion I choose, you know, and to live the way I want to live as long as it's not injuring, harming other people, you know, taking away from them, you know, their existence, you know what I'm saying, infringing on that. And I can agree with that because I wouldn't want anybody else's religion to be forced upon me, you know, because this is religion the way I choose to live. But we all can agree we deserve to live. That's the common fact that we have. We all can agree we need the security that we can drive, ride, walk, stand somewhere and not be shot, be on video that's here for 2 and 5 years and shown up later and is told it was COVID or some foolishness and there's no real prosecution. So, you know, then you see all these whites that run out and these people get GoFundMe pages. I mean, these people get 500,000, you know, and you can say, well, that's not them. That just shows you how many people support those actions, and it's foolish of us to continue to stay here and try to reason and rationalize with a person that doesn't have any, you know, couth, you know, that doesn't have any ethics, that doesn't have any morals, that doesn't have any convictions, because you're not going to get anywhere. He, she does not see anything wrong with what they're doing. You know, you can say prosecute. Of course, they cry when they look at, oh, what's happening? I'm going to jail. They're not crying because my actions were wrong, because I shouldn't have done it. You know what I'm saying? I was wrong. I'm convicted, not convicted in the court, but you should be convicted in yourself. This is something they don't have. So you can't impress that upon a person. That has to be something that's innate in a person. Y'all agree? So I'm done with trying to rationalize with them. I'm more prone to the proposal of our people getting together, our people coming up. When I say our people, this is not all the leaders. This is people input. You know, you can bring leaders, but we need input from people because if we're going to move to agree on something, the people need to have a voice. The people need to know what are we doing, how are we doing it, and what's our goal. What will we do if we're being prevented from doing it? You got what I'm saying? We need this. We need this to happen. And, you know, I'm for it today, tomorrow, next week, next 55,000 years, whenever it is. It will not work, us staying a part of the American government system, because it's not for us, you know, bottom line.
That's right.
I know I said a lot already, but right. What's going on with y'all guys?
I'm with you. I believe everything that you said about uniting, coming together, formulating a plan. Just obviously what we've been doing ain't necessarily the answer. Coming together different. I think it all starts with information. I know one thing about me is I took on the mindset originally, like you said earlier in your conversation, you just tend to your own business and just worry about you and don't worry about anybody else's business. But it's actually, as the more and more information I started to get, then I became more conscious as far as being aware that I was actually in dire need of help and assistance, because it's just a matter of time before all this stuff comes down my road and it will affect me eventually if it's not
right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. All of us, we fools and we think it won't. I mean, we fools.
Yeah.
It's going to affect you. You can say, well, I don't live in that type of community where I'm at. But, you know, people don't realize things change and shift. You can have a good mayor, a good governor, but these are four-year terms. And these people don't enact, you know, bills and legislation that last lifetimes. Because there are always people that come in and do repeals, you know what I'm saying, overturn verdicts. You know, so it's like, you know, so people get this, hey, we got this law in it, hey. The problem is with it, eventually there comes someone in to overturn it. So we have to get things that's more concrete for us that guarantees our security. Just say today we march. We got some actions. We got permanent voting rights. This was, for whatever reason, people of color think this is something they got to have when you don't have to have it because they don't want you to have it. So you're not going to get it until they give it to you. When they give it to you, you won't have the power to use it. So that's the first thing. But, you know, let's go ahead and give it to them. Let's go ahead and give them what else they want, what they want. Police reform. Let's give them to them. Police reform. Let's go with defunding police. All this you want, we gave it to you, okay? So when the next president, the next legislative branch comes in, then what happens? Your legislative branch is your law. These are the people that pass your law. Your next legislative branch, your next majority comes in and say, hey, we're repealing that. We're overturning. We're putting a law to prevent that. If we can't overturn or appeal it, we'll put a law to block it. You see what I'm saying? When it's used. So now, where are you at that point? Now you're old, you're burnt out, you're celebrating this temporary fix, this band-aid you put on a gunshot wound. You're talking about a baby band-aid. The only way to really get real success for us is to create a system that works for us, that works for people of our melanin, that works for our people of our culture, that allows our people to grow. I think, you know, for me, it'll take away a lot of the heightened dividers we have against one another. And that's it's perpetrated and perpetuated by whites and their laws about their defunding our neighborhoods, defunding our schools, you know what I'm saying? You know, keeping these lower-income neighborhoods and low-paying jobs, you know what I'm saying? Keeping us with not enough opportunity in our communities. When you shop, very few people of color can shop in their neighborhood. They have to go where? Across town. You know what I'm saying? So you buy these nice cars, you buy this stuff to drive it back across town because you're still not able to really showcase and buy and shop where you stay. You see, for white people, they came up with live, shop, play in your neighborhood. That's for white people. The Atlantic Station, these projects have been put out where white people look at, listen, I want to keep them away. So now you stick out like a sore thumb when you come there. I don't want you here. You don't live here. You don't work here. So why are you here shopping and why are you here doing anything else? This is our community. And when you come, the money is set right back in their area so they don't lose either way. But what's with you guys?
Yep.
I'm just adamant about it, you know.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, it shouldn't be. People should want it. People should want different. But anyway, what we got coming up tonight? I know I said a lot already.
Well, we got news, and we are going. We can take a break, and we'll be back.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Ion Win are massaging gel insoles and energy bands. www.ionwins.com. Receive 30% off your first order using the coupon code Tuli and Tony. Ion Win. Nika's Oils and Detergents. Nika's Oils and Detergents can be reached at 678-421-4327. Nika has the most popular fragrances on the market. 5-gallon laundry detergents as well. Tide, Gain, Free, and Clear. Call Nika's Oils and Detergents. 678-421-4327. Michelle Magwood with Magwood Homes can be reached at 857-891-4545. Contact Michelle for all your real estate needs. Michelle Magwood with Magwood Homes. Simply Subordinate Residential and Commercial Cleaning. Give them a call at 770-369-0556. The people who make your dirt behave. Simply Subordinate. Panthera Tactical can be reached at www.pantheratacticallc.com. Panthera Tactical would like for you to be your own first responder. PD Custom Printing. PD Custom Printing for all your custom printing needs. Follow them on Instagram at PDPrinting17. You can give them a call at 678-855-0022. PD Custom Printing. Barat Products, all natural vegan body products for the entire family. Barat Products can be found on Amazon.com and BaratProducts.com. Follow them on Instagram at Barat Products. Ivy Dispatching Services, your trucker's lifeline for transportation, can be reached at 601-433-4242. Ivy Dispatching Services. Essential Massage, professional massage services with elevations available. Give them a call at 678-379-9664. Be good to your body with an essential massage.
I just seen the headlines. I don't know too much about it. I just seen it circulating a whole lot of.
Okay, we're back on the air, Dwayne. We're back on the air, Dwayne. All right, we are back. Sorry about that. Let's get into our news. West Virginia governor, did y'all hear about that? The governor is offering trucks and guns as prizes in a COVID vaccine sweepstakes.
Mm-hmm.
This is in West Virginia. He is giving away rifles, shotguns, and four F-150 pickup trucks to motivate residents to get the experimental COVID mRNA injections.
Whoa,
so
you
far,
say it's in Virginia?
40, yes, West Virginia. 40% of the state's residents have received that vaccine, and only 33% are fully vaccinated. So he also plans to offer cash, including a $1 million jackpot. Yep. So I'm just trying to figure out, okay, the governor actually, he offered free shake and, was it Shake Shack fries and $1 million lottery too to boost it. So I'm kind of curious as to why these people, this other percentage didn't take it. It's only like 33 that's fully vaccinated with the two shots, I suppose. And that, so
I'm curious
about
some of them numbers. I was watching the news earlier and they said Biden said that 60% of Americans have received the vaccination
is
what
the
article said.
This is West Virginia stats, though.
Right, but I would think that 60%, that's like a whole, you know, of the whole country, 60% of the whole entire country has gotten it. So I understand what you mean about West Virginia. I'm just like, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That is so crazy to have to do that. But anyway, I guess motivation, people are usually motivated by money and things, so.
Well, it sounds like that is targeted towards white people. They said them Ford F-150s. white dude, they love that, man. And guns, I don't know if y'all ever been to West Virginia, but I've been to West Virginia before. And let me tell you, West Virginia, oh, yeah. Nothing but white people all up through West Virginia. They ain't got but two types of black people in West Virginia, and that's janitors and athletes. That's it. That's all they got in West Virginia. Anything else up there, man, I felt really, really. Listen, I felt
did
out of place.
Did you live there or you just going through?
No.
I was stationed there to work. I worked for the railroad. Yeah, I had to work for the railroad or whatever, and they had me stationed there a little while, and I tell you what, it was culture shock.
Oh, wow. Ugh.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Joe Biden said black entrepreneurs can be as successful as white entrepreneurs, but they don't have lawyers and accountants. He said this in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Of course, it's the 100th year anniversary of Black Wall Street race riots. He said, young black entrepreneurs are just as capable of succeeding, given the chance, as white entrepreneurs are, but they don't have lawyers, they don't have accountants. What does that mean?
Reading in between the lines, what did that really mean? What did you say?
They don't have lawyers and they don't have accountants?
In other words, is he implying that they don't have lawyers to get them out of sticky situations like people who are not, you know, and it's the same thing when it comes to accountants. They're able to find them beneficial tax loopholes. Is that what he's implying?
Well, no. I think what has to happen, I think we're critical, Tula. We're critical when they say certain things because white people speak from a different perspective. For us, it's almost like, you know, you're insulting us, you're calling us ignorant and retarded. We have several businesses, and, you know, we do have an account, tax account. And what happens is if you're going to get loans, you have to have an accountant to sign off and stamp your paperwork. You going in just trying to get a loan is almost virtually impossible because they want somebody to say, this is my nigga. I say this nigga paper is good. Although paperwork can be fraudulent, even through them or whomever,
right.
It's just a fact, you know. I want to, you know, and I'm just, you know, I'm being, and you know, just like hearing it, it's like, you're trying to insult us. What do you mean? Because we've gotten along. We've done business. And doing business, you have to have a tax accountant to stamp your paperwork. When they want book, they say, give me your books. This is not the cat in the hat. They want to see that somebody's been keeping books and showing, keeping up with numbers, showing the account, showing where money's been dispersed, how money's coming in, so they can see how things generate, how operate, what's your cash flow, whether you have a positive or a negative, to see whether or not you can pay the money back. You just can't come in and drop your statements on the table and say, give me a loan. No, we want somebody to do the work for us. You can give them paperwork to ask for, but just understand you won't get the same care and courtesy and the speed and efficiency of the bank unless it's done a certain way. That's a criteria.
And don't do it.
And what, yeah, exactly. I mean, sometimes, you know, in small cases, depending on what you're getting, but they're really looking for someone to sign, to put their name there saying, I do these books. The books are correct. The number. That's how big companies get millions of dollars because they hire their own. They don't go external. They have internal people that they hire in just to do their books and help forge numbers, do numbers, pull in, download bank accounts, go in and change numbers or whatever they do. And as long as it's stamped and given to them, they don't care. The big boys in the red most of the time. They just going to send it off and make it look like they're in the black. So they get, you know, millions and billions of dollars. So there are things I think we need to do is to educate our people. If you're going to stay in this system, you have to understand, you have to speak white. You have to do business as white people. You have to have a physical address. It can't be your home address. White people don't do that. Now, you know, like y'all do remember a lot of people ain't got virtual offices. Virtual offices are done. when you're trying to get loans, once they pull it and find out this is a virtual office, you're done. White people could do that. White people did home businesses. Now when you do it, oh, yeah, I have a business. Where's it? Oh, it's out of my home. Okay, frown. That means you don't have, they want a structure, physical, somewhere you're paying, somewhere you're at, somewhere that they know it's costing you and you're able to operate. From your home, you got to pay your mortgage anyway. So nothing shows that you're paying anything for your business to operate.
Yeah, exactly.
You have what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What do we have to do? We got to train our people how to do it. And all this I'm telling people because I've hit these roadblocks. All the years we've done business, it took so long. Like they said, the first 3 years of business is critical, a lot. The every day is critical if you're black. Because there can be one thing that comes through and wipe you completely out. It can be a one, where we do trucking, dump trucking, you know, which is still truck separate. What we do, we construction. So what do we do? Car lot, mechanics. What do? We do so much stuff that you start realizing how you have to learn how to do business and set yourself up to where they respect your businesses so you can generate funds at the same time. If you need working capital, you learn how to access it. Because white people aren't using their own money. White people are using white people's money because they'll learn and teach their people how to set up and do paperwork. We don't know how, and that's why we're behind. That's why we stay with little small businesses that never grow. That's why we never make real money. You know what I'm saying? People say, I'm comfortable. Let's get out of comfortable and let's get to where you can live and be more than comfortable. You should be able to do something outside of leisure. But, you know, that's me. Go ahead.
You said outside of what? Leisure? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I mean, when I'm saying outside of just I'm doing,
oh,
like,
hear,
something,
sure
you know.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always good to just don't want to be a one-trick pony. You know what I mean? One
yeah.
thing is I matriculated through school. One thing I think that was not stressed to me in school was the importance of having multiple streams of income. I think especially when I – you know, wanted to go to college, the question that they always ask you is they always ask you, what are you majoring in? And, you know, there it's always going to be one answer. You might say, whether I'm majoring in business or I'm majoring in finances or I'm majoring in whatever the case may be, it was always one thing. When the reality of it is that the mindset should be, we should have maybe about four or five different things we're trying to actually major in the sense of multiple streams of income. We need to have a lot of different things, a lot of different things we're trying to generate income, and that's just something that was never really taught to me. So definitely applaud you when you was going down the list of all the different things you're doing. You know, you mentioned the car lot, you mentioned the mechanic shop, a lot of different things y'all got going on. That's just a mentality that I never really had. I think that's something that me growing up in non-white community that was never stressed to me, and I think that may be the first step to actually developing your first step towards your own liberation as a people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, that's
say,
something.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Joe.
No, I would so say when I was doing things like that or thinking about business, at first I was thinking, you know, do something. And I still have this. I don't know if I should get rid of it or not, but this is just how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
That you do some, you do this thing, you do your one thing, or you do something and you do it well. I think that's important. And I always, in the back of my head, I'm always thinking about jack of all trades and master of none.
I'm
not, I don't want to, you know, be somebody who's doing everything and nothing is like profitable or, yeah, profitable, pretty much profitable. Yeah, just to say I'm doing, I got 12 businesses, but a total, when you look at your bottom line, you only got $1,000 from five businesses. So, you know, I don't think that that's,
wow.
That's just how I think about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
I think,
that would have sounded like.
Yeah, that's somebody.
No.
You
I,
hear me, man,
I'm
time.
I'd like to do things well. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to do that thing, I'm going to master that thing, and it's going to be good. I'm going to create a good product. I'm not going to be doing 5,000 things and I'm spreading myself across. Not that I don't have the ability to do those 5,000 things, but I just want to master something. And I think channel, you know, my energy towards that one thing as opposed to spreading myself thin, you know, and then thinking, oh, I got this going on, but I'm not healthy or I'm not putting out a great product. That's just how I feel.
So let me ask you this then,
yeah.
And I hear what you're saying, The only criticism I have about doing one thing is that's actually what I did. I've only, you know, I initially started off focusing on one thing. The problem is when I'm doing one thing is what happens when that one thing that you're doing falls apart.
Now, I'm not just saying – that's a good question. I'm not just saying – just say, for instance, you are a
What is
you
it?
You could be a doctor. Okay, just say you could be a doctor, all right? So you say, okay, I see patients and I do this or whatever. But you still can, you can own a mobile unit that goes around and does those things. You don't have to be in it, you know, to do it. But it's still related to something that you're already doing. But yes, you're right. If something happens with that, but guess what? If I mastered it, I should have an exit plan. I should be prepared for if those things should happen.
So one thing about doctors why we tend to view them as being successful is, but a lot of people don't know, is doctors are actually, the majority of doctors actually, good example. A lot of doctors are actually independent contractors. A lot of doctors, when you go to hospital, they're actually not employees. They actually work for themselves.
Correct.
They have their own malpractice insurance policy, which takes you on to an actual entrepreneur. So doctors are actually more so in the entrepreneur or in the self-employed category, which in general goes back to what we're saying about having your own and starting your own. You actually put yourself in a better situation no matter what it is when you're actually in control of it as an entrepreneur or as someone that's self-employed. So that's something that, you know, something I just never taught. I was always taught in condition to be an employee, find a good job, work your way up to the top. When the other people, your supervisor retired, then you will get that promotion. And like I said, it wasn't until when things fell apart that my whole world got rocked. And I was just like, wow. And it's just better to have, you know, multiple streams of income. And a lot of people, you know, they may not be good at, you know, four or five different things. But I think whatever it is, it's more so about being in control of it. Because the thing and the beauty about being self-employed or being an entrepreneur, you have control over it. And you're actually able to transfer some of that. If you do generate any type of revenue, you can actually transfer that on to whoever you want to, whether it's your kids, whether it's your, you know, whatever relatives or whatever you want to, you can actually transfer. And that's how you start to build wealth. And I just never really understood that under the mindset of being an employee. But that's something I think that really should be taught and stressed more in the educational curriculum. But it's just something that I haven't seen. So that's just something that again, I think that's like one of the important steps to, you know, first becoming, you know, a liberated people. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So how do you, if somebody listens to this show and they hear you saying do that, everybody can't do multiple things at one time.
Yeah, they can. I'll tell you what
well,
I mean by that.
How about well?
The average person
well?
Who have a job. Your job is going to have you doing a lot of stuff. It's more so about do you fall more so. It's breaking the systemic programming because
no.
I was always
told
I can only do one thing. Okay.
No. But this is the thing. When you're doing your job, it all correlates together, but it's like you don't have to focus your whole energy on that one thing. But if I have five businesses that I want to make successful, I'm going to have to put myself in those businesses, all five of them. Now, you're on somebody's job, and they give you a job description, and it includes tells you to do all these things. That's different. I don't think you compare. I think that's apples and oranges.
Wow.
I wouldn't necessarily say a difference of apples and oranges. I think what it actually does is, if you're an employee, somebody is taking their business and they're entrusting you to handle it from day to day and operate it to a degree. So that means that they're actually entrusting you with their actual business. They wouldn't be entrusting you if they felt as though you were incompetent or incapable of doing it yourself. A lot of different information, a lot of different positions are not privy to the average employees, different things like salaries and stuff. You never know how much money that your company actually generates. They keep all that stuff away from the average employee because the reality is the employee actually became knowledgeable of those different information. Employees say, you know what, I might need to just break off and start doing my own thing. This is what I've already been doing. I already know how to do it. I could just go ahead and I could actually compete against the company I'm working for.
depending on
but
where
it takes a different mindset for that. But I think the biggest thing with me, it was just more so an information. And I think what you're saying is, hey, it makes total good sense. Why would you spread yourself thin over five different things versus focusing on one thing? And the only answer I would say is learn the value in failure. It's really a true value in taking losses, and it's a lot of value in actually failing. And I think because I failed so much and still do, that is the learning lesson that actually makes it a lot more to make you that much stronger.
Exactly
you know what I'm saying?
When you see
I would encourage anybody
work.
To listen to definitely, overcome
that
fear and just
yourself,
take, you know what I'm saying?
And you spread yourself because you're doing these five and you learn, okay, I can't do these five. That is a lesson learned. Like you said, there's a valuable lesson learned in failure.
Yes.
I totally agree. That way so I can't do five, I'm going to do four. That's what I'm saying. You people need to know what they can
what
and
your limitations
cannot do.
Are.
Right.
Yep.
Regardless.
And it's not wrong being an employee at all.
It's not. Because when you said doing a pro job, I thought about it came to my mind when I was managing a dental office, and I was the manager. I was up front. I had to do that. And then sometimes I had to go to the back to assist the doctor with a patient. So I had to leave that post, which was left unattended. The phone was ringing. I had to go to the voicemail because I was in the back. So when you said people are entrusting you in your job, that's what I'm saying. You can't, in certain situations, you can do multiple things on somebody's job. But in actuality, if you have one job that you need to do, it's important that you do that.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I mean, it's all about what you can handle. I think, Tula, you know, you've been pushed to the limit with me. So, you know, I'm a hard pusher, you and our kids. So they, you know, y'all know we forgetting it. Yeah, that's right. The whole family pushed the limits, all of them. You know what I'm saying?
This is a cry for help. Yeah.
No, I mean, that's what I mean. I had to stop. They pulled me out of the truck. They were like, you're doing too much.
Yeah. It was a lot. But, yeah.
You would have never done it had you not married me because
I wouldn't
goal.
But I was going to have, I wouldn't have done that like that. No, because I actually would have had my own dental office. I definitely would have done that.
You probably could have. If you married me, you would have.
What?
You got to get people that push for
it. I don't because
you know,
I'm married.
A lot of people say,
I'm
going to do. You got to have people behind you that push you for, you know,
Tony,
just that
I would have done it without.
Everybody don't have that
moment. That's
just facts.
And I think you know that.
I mean, listen.
Well, it's never too late.
Apparently it is. I think you just heard about this lady said a jack of all trades and a master of none. Hello? I don't
want to do that. One thing she knows, listen, I'm on the grind. I get it. Every day, 7 days a week, I do it 7 days a week. I don't make no excuses. I don't love nobody giving me no handout. I ain't begging nobody for nothing. I made my own way. I push it. That's how I do it. I say it like my boy Jerry said, I walk it like I talk it. We just completed the property. What we finna do? We finna take it to the market.
Take it to the
market. So they can hawk it. Let's then go to the market.
Yeah, right.
To a complete project. We take destroyed, burnt down, destructed home, and put them back and make them gorgeous. We need to post on our website and let people see what we're doing.
That's okay,
well, I see you. That's why you're here.
It's okay. It's all right. You know. I'm sure. It's okay. It's all right. All right. So, moving on. Oh, did y'all hear about this? Florida's investigating a group home after foster children. Oh, can you believe that? 12 and 14.
Yeah,
oh,
that happened in my neck of the woods.
That's another sick kid. So that, so
with
it makes sense now.
47, come on.
But let me say this: I saw when the story originally broke, and they told the story wrong originally. they were, when it was reported, the news were trying to say that it made it sound like that some, the police was trying to break into their home and they shot him with an AK-47. And the police was never shot. I'm saying the break. I saw when it was breaking news.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So breaking news was saying that the police, you know, like the police had been shot, and there was a break into a home. You know what I'm saying? Because I guess it was sketchy. They trying to listen in and trying to understand and decode what they were saying, and that's how that kind of came so mixed up, you know. And so now with that going on, you look at, okay, you got the story wrong. I was like, the kids wound up shooting the police. The police were trying to break in the home. Then later in the morning, I saw the story, and it came out, okay, they had escaped from the group home, which was a church in that area, some Presbyterian church had a
home.
Yep. So you people need to look at it. These kids ain't just leaving for nothing. These kids get here, no doubt. These kids are damaged, just like the young girl that was killed by the police in the foster home. See, a lot of these foster homes, and it ain't every one of them either, because I knew, you know, I mean,
there's a lot of them, though.
So every person ain't molesting the kids. I can vouch for that. I don't believe your cousin or sister at all ever molested a kid. That's just not her M.O. But there are so many people that get these kids for the money, and it takes money, and then the kids are not getting the proper care. The funds are not distributed toward them. They're using the money to fund, you know, their lifestyle, their kids, their other kids. They're not foster kids. These kids are sex targets, you know, targets of sex rings, abused by other kids or by the husband who's a pedophile, a boyfriend who's a dirty, low-down bastard who should have been dead. You know, so it's a lot of bad things that happen, and a lot of, you know, a lot of kids are run versus, you know, foster care can be the opening to a door of, you know, giving them a better life. It winds up being, you know, worse than what they came from. So now these kids get to a point where it's me against the world. So I'm going to fight the world with everything I got. You can say I'm wrong, but I'm trying to survive. And since I'm trying to survive, I got to go with what works for me. You know what I'm saying? That's just it. I'm going with what works for me. I'm out here by myself. Everybody else have parents. Everybody else have people that care about me. Everybody got a home and stuff for me. So I'm going to do what I got to do. And those are the kids that we're stuck with that we have to deal with out here.
So, question for today. Does marriage make better kids?
Depending.
Does marriage make better kids? Explain. Are you saying kids born in marriage with mom and dad present, do they have a better opportunity than those that don't have? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, you just repeated it. So apparently you heard that.
Right.
I'm going to go with the slap. I think I'm going to go with the thrust slap, Tula. The thrust strap is when you take your hand all the way up and you ask for all the power in heaven and hell. You come down the... Are you serious?
Don't hit him. Don't hit him.
Repeat the question. No, he repeated the question and said, is that what you're saying?
No, I dissected the question is what I did.
There you go.
I opened it up. I took what she said. I opened that thing up. I spit the watermelon open.
Listen, when I come out with that new pimp slap, it's going to dissect too.
Okay,
this
so
is going to be died. The sect going to come out later.
Oh, my
neck. That man said, are you saying? Yeah, that's a question.
Well, the reason why I say this is because, as you know, I'm a relationship specialist, and when people do their word questions different ways, when they're handling, really what the question is does it make a difference when the father is present in the house? That's really
that
what the question
what the
is, but that's not the way it was asked. That's what it boiled down to.
That is not what the question is. So you want to spin it with if the father's in the house?
That's marriage.
Does marriage make better kids? Now, if you want to take it to the father's
house,
I
want to defer to y'all first, since y'all have kids. What y'all say?
Wow. Well, let's let our student audience answer.
What's the question?
Oh, wow.
You can answer either question. Does marriage make better kids? And what was your question? What did you say about the father?
Absentee fathers, does it make a difference?
Absentee father make a difference.
Absentee, that does not sound good. Absentee father doesn't make a difference.
In other words, does it make a difference when the father is not in the home?
sir.
When it comes from child rearing, does it make a difference when the father is absent? Yes, sir, it definitely. Call in. I want to hear what some of the viewers have to say, what some of the listeners have to say.
What you got to say? What you say?
I mean, statistically speaking, you know, obviously they say children are more run a higher risk of being incarcerated when the father's not there. Also, as far as it can still happen, I want to make sure that these are not absolutes, but statistics also shows that typically sometimes it has more positive effects when the child actually comes from a home where your parents are and married, you know what I mean, versus now that they are not. That's
hold your
speaking is what it says.
Please.
Okay. We got a call. There we go. Come on, call.
Goodness, you don't fight him?
What?
Get on the phone, caller. Get on the phone, caller.
Hey.
Welcome
caller, we
want to
apologize.
Oh,
what's your name? What state you calling from?
Hello. My name is Chanel, and I'm from the state of Georgia, by the way,
yeah,
of Michigan.
Yeah.
And I just had a quick comment. Growing up, I had both my mom and my dad in the home, and I think the answer to your question depends on if it's functional or not. I mean, once I got older, I realized that my parents had a lot of problems. Well, not, I shouldn't say a lot, but I mean, they had problems. But growing up as a kid, I didn't see it, and I think more or less I would say that it was, you know, a functional, you know, what someone would describe as a functional marriage. And I feel like, and a lot of coincidentally, a lot of my friends growing up, a lot of them were in one parent homes. They didn't have their father. And I definitely saw a difference growing up. Like, my father was very active. He was my coach. He came to all of my games, took me shopping. Like, he was very hands on in my life. And I feel as if I could definitely see the difference. Like, a lot of times he was played a father role to a lot of my friends. And you can tell the difference just about like how we were reared. I always had a parent when I came home from school, and a lot of my friends ended up going down a different path than I did. Like, a lot of my friends around me, a lot of them didn't graduate high school. A lot of them, you know, got into a lot of trouble. And so, I don't know, I saw a difference, but, you know, I think it's situational. And I think it was beneficial for me growing older I got better as I got older, I think. But, you know, I think it gave me a good foundation to grow from.
Good.
So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
You said exactly what I thought. Mm-hmm.
And I want to say we appreciate you, and because of you being who you are, hopefully we'll see you real soon. You deserve
yes.
that.
Yes.
You deserve
yes.
that.
Barack Obama. You know what? you are a very kind man, very smart, you know. I like you. I think you're a good person, you know? Thank you.
I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this.
Thank you for that.
Since you had a father growing up, just curious on the impact a fatherhood has on a woman. Was your father strict on you when he came around to dating? Did he offer a lot of advice with you in dating, or how was that?
I was heavily into sports. And I had like a whole different mindset, so I didn't date a whole bunch growing up. But it definitely was an impact. Like, he definitely was like, I couldn't go out the house dressed a certain type of way. All the boys that I was interested in, he talked to. It wasn't something I couldn't go out. If I went out all types of nights, he didn't know about it. Like, he was very involved, and there was a lot of stuff that I couldn't do. Yes.
Quick question for you on that. Do you feel that your mom would have done the same thing? Your mom would have said, don't wear that out here. Your mom would have met the guys that you were going out with. Your mom, you know, do you think your mom would have done the same thing?
She actually did do the same thing, but it for whatever reason, it came differently from my dad. Like, I don't know what it was, like, what the delivery, I don't know if it's because, like, my dad, but, like, a lot
oh,
of
yeah,
times he would
I,
say
I,
something.
I can believe that, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times he would say something, and it would, like, all he would just say, I'm very disappointed in you, and my whole world is over, you know, when I was a kid. So it was just,
right.
When he said something, kind of stuck, especially when it was with guys, I don't know what it was, but it just came differently from him, forward. I don't have a reasoning behind that. It's just kind of like how it was.
Well, yeah, my point was just to say if your mom would have done the same thing, not necessarily who had the most influence by saying it, but I was just wondering.
Yeah, she did.
Is she would have done the same thing, right?
Yeah, she did do okay. the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all. Okay. Yeah.
But if I hear you correct, you say the results didn't really come until you actually heard it from your father. Father, is that what you're saying? It kind of hit home in a different way when it came from masculine energy?
I feel like I just took it better. You know, I would listen to her a lot of times, but it came with a lot of fight, a lot of back and forth, you know. But with him, it was a lot of times it was just like, okay,
because
Dad.
It was
or, you know,
coupled
it just,
fear? Because you had the fear of him? More fear of him than her?
I think I had more, I don't know. I actually was terrified of my mom because she actually gave out more of the, I kind of reverenced him a little bit more. Like, I just thought he was cooler. I just thought he was just like.
He was your
the best
friend.
So
you listened to, like you thought in your mind, he's your friend. You know, just somebody you can relate more to. Or he was your friend. He was on your side. Is that?
I wouldn't say he was my friend, but I felt as if I feel like he had a different delivery, so he would definitely be on my side. Like, if I wanted something, I can go to him. And even if he told me no, it was just kind of like, you know, it came off differently. But I feel like I definitely feel like he was more on my side growing up. Like,
so,
I could play him a little bit more.
Exactly. Did your mom go to your games?
Yes.
Okay.
She did. She didn't go to as many because they set up a system where my mom worked nights and my dad worked during the day, so it can always be someone at the house. And so, unfortunately, with that setup, sometimes that she couldn't go because she had to work. And so he would have to be there in the evening. And so for her to come to some of my games that weren't on the weekends, she would have to take off, and that wasn't always possible.
Right. Okay.
So that's beauty that she was actually able to see that two people work together like that, what you said, conflicting schedules. They came to agreement where one person had to take the nights, one person had to take the day shifts. And that might take a toll on their personal relationships, but it's for the betterment of the kids. You're able to see that. So you think if you seeing that as a child, do you think that prepares you in a better position for marriage and to be a team player now since you've seen that?
I think so. I think it set up when I seen that, it made me want to always have someone at the house with my kids. When I was a kid, I didn't like it because I was mad. All my friends' parents, they had like 3 hours after school for a few hours. So as a kid, I didn't like it. I was always trying to get there, and the answer was no. But I think as an adult now, having my own children, I always wanted to have a parent at home for my kids. So,
are you safe at home right now?
I think so. I'll press the button twice if I'm not, you know, so anything happens.
Okay, it just didn't sound like it. Okay, just making sure. Okay. Well,
that's
all
right.
Yeah.
Well, I think we got a point on the scoreboard for a two-parent home marriage.
I don't know.
On the scoreboard. We got any callers call in, put some points on the scoreboard for that say no. Callers call in. Pass out
that's
anybody.
That's me. You don't team me. Thank you, caller. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you. I enjoy the
show.
We
appreciate
you.
Hope we see you soon.
Hi, welcome to the show. Where is my knocking not coming? Hello, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Yep. Caller, what's your name? Where you calling from, caller? The only reason I asked that question is I heard that we actually are broadcasted all over the country and as well as all over the world. So I'd just be kind of curious to see where some of the people
the
are from because I'm hearing y'all all over
the
globe.
We really are international.
So that's why I'm just curious to see where some are calling from. That's all.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
I wanted to make sure my it was loud in the background first.
Oh, yes, great.
Screaming.
No problem. Thank you.
Where you calling from, Carlos?
I'm broadcasting live from Tampa, Florida.
Oh.
When you say Tampa, Florida, go ahead, Tampa. Okay.
Yeah, Tampa, Florida.
Hey, real quick. They say. Well, I was just gonna say about Tampa real quick. What, since they from Tampa, Florida, what do you call somebody that lives in Tampa? They're called tampons. Tampons, that's right. That's true. You call them tampons. There it is.
It's coming from you, so I had to go all the way out.
That's filthy.
I mean, that was like, I knew you were going to say that, but did they really say that? That is so nice.
Oh, man. You know what? I wanted to ask a question.
Sure.
I know we talk about two-parent homes, but what about the single moms, right? I know it's all proper, but I had a question. What about the single mom that have children, that have kids, and a guy sees that? Can he play a father role without trying to be stepdaddy or baby daddy? Because it seems like men who try to help women out in that situation, some people always think like they're always trying to holler at the mom, but they may be trying to play the role of you know, to help out in that fatherly role. Now, on the other side of that, how do you fare with keeping the same relationship with the mother on a kind of relationship where they just helping out the kid versus a physical relationship with the mom? Is that possible?
Yes. I think it's possible.
Now, how do you
to those people talking about you can't be platonic friends, you know, because everybody wants to sleep with everybody. That's they're around. So, you know, people say that, which I just don't agree with at all, period. So, you know, but then that's what
That's how I kind of grew up, because my father, he was with my mom. But how he met my mom had two kids.
Right.
And he kind of, you know, he took the fatherly role in helping the kids out. But I know that turned into a marriage. But it just sometimes I think men want to help women out, but they may not want a relationship. They just say, forget it. I don't want to even deal with a woman. I want to leave the kid aside. Sometimes fathers are just dead. So I just want to know. I just want to see how y'all
I will say that sometimes we are very guilty of seeing more of something than it is, and it's right there in our face, and we will think that we see, you know, a totally different picture than what is in our faces, what the person is showing us, but we'll make something because we want something. We'll create it in our minds, and then we get our feelings hurt, and then we act crazy, and then we react. But I never came on to you. This is the guy. I never came on to you. I never gave you. I was just helping Junior. You know, that's all. But we will, as a woman, I will say, we will be guilty of doing stuff like that, making something out of nothing. We are guilty of that.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Oh, thank you. That was it. I just wanted to know. I know some people may take offense to that, but I just wanted to kind of get an
idea. I guess the people that my co-host did, because they have nothing to say.
Well, I just wanted to make sure that he had completed his thought or whatever. I definitely understand the perspective that he's saying. Caller, do you have kids, by the way?
Yes, I have kids.
In your opinion, do you think it's easier to raise a kid in a two-parent home, in the confines of marriage, or do you think it might be more complicated if it was a single parent?
It depends on what generation you live in. Of course, we live in a district, but now, especially with COVID going on, a lot of people struggling. It's hard for you. Parents may be in a home, but because they have to work all the time, they're never in a home.
Right.
Gotcha.
Sometimes, you know, I mean, if I got to work, the caller previously said, like, when the mom was at work, the dad was at home. When the dad was at work, the mom was at home. So how do you have that balance to where you actually have a family? You can have a family but not have a functioning home. So I think it's important that they still, you know, still be in the house together to be able to raise the child. And some people, I know they say they want to be together until the dog and the kids graduate.
Right.
Well. Mm-hmm.
You know, and how does that feel? They married,
right.
But it's until. So it just, you got to, it all depends. Because I know some kids that grew up in the single-family home that are successful. So I know marriage is great, but sometimes two people in the house still don't have function. I try to, you know, to have that in my home, you know, the balance between the kids. But you got kids, now you got to figure out which time you're going to give to what kid. Who's the favorite child?
Right. Yeah.
Well, you know,
there's no such thing as a favorite child.
You hear that? There's no such thing as favorite child. If somebody got in their phone, favorite child when it rings. That's tight. I mean, you ain't hit me calling. Somebody's phone rings. It says,
wow.
I'm trying to figure out who is favorite. I see the pastor. Oh, okay. That's how we do it.
That is
really. Why is she laughing? I didn't call no name
gosh.
Caller.
Oh, that is so
yeah.
embarrassing.
Wow. So she got more kids, but the thing says favorite child. I'm looking saying, wow. I see if I said, wow. That's crazy.
See, people have it all wrong. They be thinking they know me. Y'all don't know me. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, yep,
yeah.
Got it all wrong, people.
Big scammer.
But anyway, well,
no,
thank you,
call
caller.
Big scam
going on.
Yeah. Listen, plenty of big scams.
Big scams.
Totally big scam. Definitely.
Big scammer.
That's
your favorite child when you have more than one.
Exactly.
Wow.
Well, there's, you know, some kid, if you have more than one kid, there's just one kid that you just really have to give that attention
wow.
and love and affection to.
You know what?
You know
I think
that.
I was the favorite child. I think I was the favorite child.
I'm about it.
Why? Your only child?
Then I had the baby, but my baby sister, she got like spoiled big time. But there's an age gap in between me and my baby sister, so it's
what
a pretty
is
big
a couple
age
months?
Gap. So I felt like I was pretty much grown. You know what I'm saying? And then my baby sister came along. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah, I think when it's big age gap like that, yeah.
They brought his baby sister home. Mom was pregnant with her, and they told him that he was 2 months older than she was. And she already
no,
pictured
I
that
I
she was pregnant with his baby sister.
Which
means somebody
I was the
adopted.
Most stressful. I was
right.
the most stressful child. They told me I was the most stressful. Throughout my childhood, I remember everybody telling me comments, and they all said this. Wait till you have kids. You gonna have a little boy, and he will be just as bad as you. Wait till you have a kid. Wait to have your kid. Wait, just wait. Your kid will be
that's
just like you. Oh yeah, man. Oh yeah,
up.
I stayed in trouble. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I just misunderstood. I was handsome with wavy hair. When you handsome and got really nice hair, the whole world come after you. You know what I'm saying? Opposition everywhere.
Yeah.
You're far right. You watch a lot of TV. I see that.
That's okay.
Yeah, but I get what you're saying, what Carlos was saying about functional families and stuff like that. I guess everybody got their own definition of what functional means. What is a good example, y'all, of functional?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's a good question. When you say, what is the definition of marriage? And like you said, the function, what is to be expected out of a functioning marriage? What is the function?
I don't think it's so. I don't think you can really pin everybody down to a function, what's functional, because every house is different, because children are different and parents' situations are different. You know, mm-hmm. I came out of a functioning home. A lot of times we're great homes is dysfunctional because they're not, quote-unquote, TV labeled. You know what I'm saying? You know, the Cosby. You know, your father wasn't a doctor, your mother wasn't a lawyer, so you came out of a dysfunctional home. You know, my daddy worked scrap metal for him, and my mother was a supervisor at a restaurant. So they had to work. They had to get it, you know.
Right.
And I had to graduate from high school, but they provided, you know, and they gave it. They didn't sexual abuse us, and they had no hidden abuse from our parents or just beat us, you know. But, you know, and they had character and they had morals about some things that they'd done. You know, they weren't TV parents. They were real people. You know, she didn't sit home like Florida on her ass with a bunch of rolls in her neck. And she praying to Michael,
what?
Praying to Jesus about Michael. You know, I hated her neck. I hated Esther Rowe's neck. I hated it today. I hated it. That damn neck made me sick on my stomach. Every time. And then with Jane kissing, damn if I didn't get sick. All I kept saying was, why are you kissing in the mouth? You're supposed to be an actor.
God.
This is suicide. It was almost like
that's
hell he liked
fair.
It.
That's not fair.
Hey. Listen, Ezra didn't make herself, but she didn't have to force herself on nobody. I think Jane should have been paid more money, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, like, I think all of us say, oh, I came out of dysfunctional home, my home wasn't functional, because it wasn't, quote-unquote, TV guide. It wasn't TV,
gotcha.
You know, made for movie. But if you weren't being
gotcha.
Sexual abused, things were, you know, my parents didn't go with me to games. My parents never took me to the park. What were your parents doing? Your parents were trying to make it. They were trying to survive. They were trying to pay bills and raise you. There's no child guy to take your kid and take them on trips and take them on vacation. You're a bad parent. A lot of times people label their parents as bad parents. A lot of times you can go back and look. It won't be a lot of times what we typically would consider a person a bad parent. You know what I'm saying? On a lot of ends. People, I mean, it's their upbringing. It's a part of who they are as well. So, I mean, you know, hey, did you get all of the hugs and kisses? Our kids aren't those type of people when we got a lot of nation. We come from slavery. We come from abuse. We come from hate. We come from a lot of negative, you know, about ourselves. Well, you know, and not positive. There's nothing positive about us. There's always, you know, it is, but that's not what they heard and what they did. So coming from the situations that they did, I mean, we had a pretty good job because we strive, and because of how they did things, we work to do better with our kids. So let's give our kids something we didn't have. Now we tell our kids, give your kids something they didn't have. So we all learn from each other. And you realize they did the best they could do with what they knew, you know.
Yep.
And some of us just made bad, like me, I made bad choices. My parents didn't raise
me.
Okay, you had two
parents, right? Yeah.
Two parents, two of them. Use the mother saw with cancer.
I mean,
you say, so you had
don't
two
be
parents.
Funny. Yeah.
No, I was hoping you were. You asked that. I said, wow. She said, I said, my mother, you had two parents. Yeah, that's usually, more than one is usually, you know, starts 2, 3, 4, 5, go up. But, you know, so. But it is. Then people say, oh, we had mental illness in our family. This is all psychology.
Are you eating?
I had to bite something.
Tony, for real?
But anyway.
In the mid, while you're talking?
Seriously. In the mid, because you know why? I'm human. There is nothing in the script. There's nothing in the contracts. I can't eat nothing.
We will put
do we want me to die for the sake of people here? I hope if I get a hard fart, I'm going to let it go on here and hopefully y'all hear it out there. Because you know why? I'm only human of flesh and blood. I'm made. Oh.
Now that's something I couldn't do. I wasn't allowed to fart around my parents.
You couldn't fart around your parents?
No, I wasn't allowed to fart around my parents. I got a lot of whiffs for farting around my parents. Yeah, you can't. Yeah, that'll get you whiffs. That'll get
you probably just did it when they were eating dinner, and their mom in the kitchen cooking, all that stuff. Yeah.
I
but anyway,
lying,
go ahead.
I blame it on my other sisters and stuff. But yeah, go ahead.
You didn't answer. Where did you fart at?
It happened on so many multiple occasions. Cause I can't just tell you where at which time. You know what I mean? I just know. It happened so much, though, I ended up getting whiffed.
No farting.
Where do you remember farting? Give us one place you remember farting at while I'm eating.
In church.
Dang.
I farted in church. I done farted at home all over the place. In the car. I think I got put out of maybe walk home one day. I farted in the car so bad. He just put me out of maybe walk home
should
on the side
have.
Of the road. Yeah.
Should have.
Yeah.
How old were you? 25?
No, I'm not 25, maybe like 21. No. Just childhood stuff and all that, you know, different things like that. But no, but I totally get what you're saying about your upbringing. The reality of the matter is, when I look back at it, when I look at even my friends come from two-parent homes, their family was struggling. They were just working. Both of them are working families just trying to make it because
that's the reality of it. Life reality is work. It's a struggle. It's a press. So that's what he was doing. That we actually referred to as I was referred to, what is the term? Is it called latch key? I think it was called. We called.
And where they go? Yeah.
That's what we were. So I had two pairs of home. Whatever. I was put a latch key.
What they call y'all? Latch key kids.
Come home.
I mean,
unlock
you think
it?
You know what? You can have. You can have two parents. You know, in the home, mother, father, whatever. And my father was there, but my mother was the one. I mean, I had to talk to her. She made sure I had everything, everything, actually. He was there, but she, you know, I have to give her credit for who she was and what she did. Even though he was there, yeah, he was doing, like you said, doing the, but she made sure I had the social, I went out to eat, we went shopping. He didn't do any of that stuff, you know, to make me, you know, do that kind of stuff. I never went shopping with my dad, though, I don't think. No. Nope. But anyway, so there was a lot that mothers do, even, yes, you did. You did that a lot. Even when the father is there, there are a lot of things that the mother does. A lot of sacrifices that mamas do, because I know I did for my children.
Stole from me for them.
But I'm just saying, you know, just I know you have the male is supposed to be the authoritative figure in the home, but the mother has a very, 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 very strong role as well.
Everybody does. I don't think really one role is more important than the other.
I disagree with that. It's because we're having this conversation about a marriage. Now, if it was one point was not more than the other, we wouldn't be talking about marriage. We'll be talking about it's okay. You know, we would be praising single mothers as well, because think about what they have to do. They raise well-rounded people, successful children, you know, people for society, and they do it themselves. And he was like, when he was talking about the person, you know, the man who want to be the father figure, she's going to have to think about if she allows that person to do that, is this a good person for my child? So she's still going to have to make the decision, okay, yes, I will release my child to you. Yes, I want you, because I did my research on you, I want you to be this influence on my child. So single mothers.
Let's put a distinction between the words single mothers, because we use a single mother. I want you to know that. Let's put a distinction between that. A single mother, I want to make sure, there's a difference between a single mother and a baby mama. So I want to make sure we won't get that confused. Baby mamas.
Tell me the difference.
Okay. A single mother is a woman who was married, and for whatever reason, she's no longer married.
No.
That's what a single
that
mother
is. A baby mama. Who is not married.
No, I'm telling you what it is, because there are a lot of good single mothers out there, but I don't want single, the terminology. Let's put a distinction between single mothers versus baby mamas. Let's put a distinction there. A single mother, someone who was married before and no longer is, whether she's a widow now currently or just things just didn't work out and they're separated or divorced, she's a single mother, then yes, she would definitely be capable of identifying the qualities of what would be a good dude for their child to date. Versus a baby mama would not be capable of identifying a good dude simply because she has failed at identifying a good dude to procreate with.
That doesn't make him a bad guy that they procreated with, though. It just could be just,
well,
you know.
Well, no. What I'm saying in general, when we hear about the baby mama stereotypes, you understand what I'm saying? When it comes with a baby mama stereotypes and stuff like that. That's just the different stereotypes that they have going on.
They choose bad guys? Is that what you're saying?
I wouldn't even say it's more so they choose the bad guy.
They just get brain about bad guys? What are you saying?
Well, I mean, that's a whole nother different take of conversation on, you know what I'm saying? But it's just more
I'm
so along the lines of...
the baby mama thing.
It's more, well, first let's do this. Let's make sure I preface my comment by saying what I said earlier. There's no such thing as an absolute at all. So
right.
The topic of the conversation is marriages, you know, raising a child versus marriage or raising a child versus, you know, the father's not present or a single parent. It's only the mother, one or the other. That's what we're saying. That's what the conversation is about. So I have seen situations where single mothers did an awesome job with whatever it is that they had and raised my kids. So I've seen where it does work. In the same situation, statistics show more side that once that father is actually absent from the child's life. And I call it the baby mama because what typically the stereotype of the baby mama is that they have learned how to weaponize the child against the actual father. And they learn how to play those roles and put all this stress up against the father to make the father almost next to impossible for the father to actually be a part of that child's life where the father has no choice but to walk away. That's the only way he can keep from getting arrested when he's being around the baby mama and all that drama. So that's more the stereotype of what I was saying.
So there is a distinction, according to you. I don't think people usually say, if you're thinking about a single female parent raising a child, I don't know if they make the distinction of a single mom or a baby mother. Because actually, a married woman is a baby's mother.
You might say,
we're creating this dynamic within our community.
So is there a distinction?
That?
No, I'm saying can we put a distinction between someone who has experienced marriage before and they're no longer married? They might have a better idea on the take of marriage or working in a relationship with a husband where things just didn't work out. They may be able to provide a better sense of direction sometimes versus one who has never been that
way. I think they can give you some insight. I definitely think you can learn from somebody that has been through that. I definitely think that, yes.
At the same time, you can learn from a woman that we would categorize as a baby mother because of, you know, the failure of identifying a person. And a lot of people are still bad. It's people been married 2 and 3 times. You would think after one bad marriage, you should be an artist.
Correct.
It's about a 3rd or 4th, yeah. And some will be 5 times. Mm-hmm. So it's not always how many times you've been married that you make a better choice. It's just life experience teaches you. And I wouldn't say that a woman that's a single parent that's, you know, hadn't been married would be a worse parent. It's just the fact that when do you mature and when do you learn from your mistakes, whether it was a bad marriage. I married a guy who been married for a woman, and we were cheating. He divorced his wife. We got married. I had a baby by him. Is she smarter? Is she better classified? No. This is what I was dating the guy. He was a good guy. We got to doing it, and before you know it, hey, over the course of time here, we got pregnant. This person turned out to be a bad person. I found this out when responsibility came in. There's no responsibility in dating. I pick you up, let's go, we hang, we do new, we bang, over. Baby gets involved, we can't do that. The baby got to have things, got to get, now you're a different person because now we got a baby. Baby holds us up, the baby needs this, that's my money, I want to do something with. Now, I can't show up. I don't want to do you or the kid. You piss. So I think experience teaches a person. And it's when a person decides that they want to grow up and stop letting the old them be the negative that drags them from being the new them. You know what I'm saying? Or the better person that they can be. And a lot of times people don't mature in that area, whether it's a bad man. I understand exactly what you're saying. But that's the part a person has to do. I had a baby mother. Terrible. Just a rotten person.
Oh.
And you think people would mature and people would change and people, a lot of times, some people never grow. They become destructive to themselves. They become destructive of other people to the kid because of the negativity. It feeds and films off on them. And they can be the same thing with an ex-wife, an ex-husband.
Yep.
They can be poison. It's just people. And I think what happens is people have to get to a point where you mature, you change. When I had my first daughter, I was 19. I was a kid, dumb as shit, you know, didn't know anything about no responsibility or taking care of anybody or being a father figure or what it took and selling drugs in the street. I did things, and then, you know, later I got married. and I settled down. I changed my ways of doing things, and I tried to project, me and my wife tried to project a different life in front of my daughter. And that's what we tried to show her and give her. And I did a lot of talking with her, trying to explain things to her and tell her things. And kids grow up and they make their own choices. You know, our kids came out of, I think they came out of a damn good home. You know what I'm saying? With good rearing, a mother that really loved them and put time in them, hell, stole from me. That money could have went to pay bills and took pressure off me when she put on them damn kids. You know, father who was there for them, you know, not just disciplinary. I taught one. She said I took them shopping. I would pick them up on Thursdays and take them out to eat. And
that was
her day. I would take them out to eat.
True.
That's right. I would pick them out. I would say, you know what? I'm going to cook for them. I bring them home. I cook. The damn kids complained about it. Oh, daddy made this. My baby Britt said, "Daddy, this burger delicious." That hula burger, what Britt say? Don't hate. Britt said, "This thing
she was
is
afraid.
Slamming." Britt said, "Them badass kids, just run them off. You don't need." I said, "Britt, you know what? You're right. I don't need them badass kids. I got you. I got you, baby. You got me." So it just depends.
I'm gonna say something about what you said when you were talking about how you, the girl and the guy were dating, and then all of a sudden they have a kid, and you know now he don't want to have anything to do with her. Blah blah blah. People, the thing about that is, kids change the dynamic of any relationship. It does not have to be. The man can freak out in a marriage. He can change. He can get jealous. He can get mad. You know, not help you with the child. And the same. It's the same thing if they're single. So it sounds like y'all need to fix yourselves.
So they change the dynamic. Is it a negative way or is it a positive way?
It's not. Well, you know what? It just depends on the person. But we were talking about in negative when he was saying how, you know, you're dating, all of a sudden you have a baby, and then the guy, you know, don't want to take care of, you know, how things change. But I said the same thing can happen in a marriage.
Well, so let me add this while you're saying. It's not always now because she has a baby you want to take care of. It's because of how she changes. It's my baby. This is my child, me and my child. And my child and me, and it's me and my child, me and my child. And that kind of, I used to hear that shit. That shit drive me up the wall. It's like, hell, if it's your child, you and your child, why am I giving you money? Why am I taking care of this kid? This don't make sense. It's your child. You need to do for your child. You need to get. How do we switch up from my child to your child? If it's your child, it's yours by yourself. You shouldn't be calling no state. There should be no child support. I shouldn't be giving you nothing if it's your child. But if it's our child, then there needs to be a mutual on what can be done. If you got rotten baby father, don't give him nothing. Don't take care of him. When I started out, I was not a good baby father. I'm not one of the people telling them, like, oh, no, I was not. Because my end was I ain't want to get no money because I ain't want her ass to have shit.
Exactly.
I ain't want her to have, and that is because a lot of times you give money, you taking care of her. This is for the baby.
Yep.
Let me see you go spend it on the baby.
Right,
and that's a lot of women get a free ride with babies. It hurts. You know, I know. Hey, I can admit it. I did not know. Hell no. I did not want her ride on my money. Our day was over. I didn't want her with a dime for me. I would take care of the kid. I said, give me the little what she need. I would get it for her. I don't want you with a dime. I don't give you nothing because I don't owe you nothing. I owe the child. And unfortunately, when you do this, you are stuck with, you got to take care of some sorry-ass woman. This is not every time. It's just the truth.
Yep.
Why is she sorry?
Yep.
Because she wants you to support her child.
No, we're not talking about taking care of her. You're taking care of
the
child, all I want to do is show me your child that uses up. This is my man. The child got to have a roof over their head. No, you got to have a roof over your head. The child is just there. Let me get the child, and you don't pay nothing. I want this for you. I said, listen, if you let me get the child, you can have access. And, you know, I said, you don't have to pay a dime. You would never have to go to court. No, would never been. Oh, your mama ain't shit. Your mama ain't paid. I don't need nothing because it don't make sense. I'm living, so why am I being a child? I'm having someone to stay anyway. I don't need it. A lot of times the woman wants that. That's her power. No, that's not true. That's not true.
Again,
this is not every woman.
You make it an issue, so that's why it is an issue. like you said, she
but
got
you know what?
Someone
will make it an issue. They'll make it an issue. It's my child. It's my child. It's my child. It's me and my child. It's me and my child. But you opened your legs and you brought him in. If you pushed that baby out by yourself, if you was Maureen from the book, who they call Mary, then you said my child and my child, my child. You had no aid of a man. But if you had aid of a man, it is mutual. If the man ain't paying, if the man don't want to take care of child, then guess what? Don't be bothered.
You know what?
If the child
want to
see
their
father, let the child, huh?
I think since you said that about pushing it, I think even as a married person, since we want to put it like that, a married woman, I still look at those kids as my children. I can still say, like you say, for instance, you're disciplining my child. Don't hit my child. It's still gonna come out. This is my child. It came out of me. So we are
made
going to
from
take
who?
Ownership and position. We're gonna use that. So just saying,
but how can you do it by yourself?
It's not about
the ground
that.
Pushes out plants, but the ground can't
that's
do
right.
it without a seed.
And right, it might have came out, but a man had to put it in you.
Well, you couldn't see it. Somebody had to put it down.
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You didn't carry it for 9 months. Whoa. You did it for that little 2 minutes or whatever it is.
Whoa! We're not finna hold on. We're not finna insult no 2 minutes. We're not
that,
doing
man.
That. Oh no, we not. Oh no, we not, Miss Kate.
Then it stops. Yeah, I mean, you only got to do, and then you got to do it for
2 minutes.
Time.
That's 120 fresh seconds.
And then you just
no, we're not finna insult no people that know what they're doing. It don't take all day.
You can eat what you want.
I mean,
eat
all
you
night because you don't know what you're doing. We're not finna insult no 2 minutes. 2 minutes is precious.
I just said 2 minutes. It just came to my mind. There's nothing. I'm not throwing it.
Well,
anyone.
It came to my
particular.
Mind, too. Fight for your right. I'm fighting for my honor.
That's right. Unappreciative.
You go and look at 2 minutes on the. You know how many points you can put
oh,
on the board
right.
in 2 minutes? If
oh,
you good,
right.
you know what you're doing.
Oh, that's
huh?
right.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
We're talking
what?
About game winning points. You know how many people they bring in the last
oh,
2 minutes?
Right.
Do you know how critical the last 2 minutes is of a football? They start counting the last 2 minutes of the game. This it. This everything you got.
That's right.
I cannot.
That's right.
Okay.
Listen, don't argue with no bench warmers. I don't do that. As men, we got to get out there
said,
perform.
Hold
we got to play
nigga.
The game. They bench warmers. They sitting on the bench riding
hey,
pie.
You know how many times the bench
don't
save the game? You know what we're doing? We won that critical time. You know what happened? You know how many times? You know how many players they said, last 2 minutes, this is your game. Get in the ball. Yow.
There it is.
Come
in the click.
Yow.
Last
click
time.
Kill it.
Yes, sir.
That's what I'm talking about every time.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. No, that's right. No, that's right. No, that.
And you get through the last 2 minutes, you know what she can say?
What?
You make me feel like a natural woman.
Oh, my God.
Woman. You make me feel.
That's taking me back. What's that lady saying that song?
Aretha. Shania Twain? What's her name?
That's a Aretha saying that?
That ain't Aretha.
You know, I gotta start researching this music more. I learned something
what
new. I learned something new about music the other day. That bet y'all don't even know it.
What is it? Try me.
Did you know that Stevie Wonder name is not Stevie?
Yeah.
Did you know that's not his name?
I wrote a book on him. I don't remember his name. Call in.
If you know Stevie Wonder's name, call in and let me know what his mama named. Because it wasn't
Stevie
Wonder. See, that's not his
name.
That is what it is, because somebody up there Googling. See, she cheated.
What
she
make you
but no,
his name is Steve Land. Like,
Steve
Land,
name.
His name is Steve Land.
That's a nickname, Steve. What make you think people don't know that, though?
Because I thought his name was Steven. I didn't know
oh,
Steve.
No
Land.
More than Ray Charles. Ray Charles' name wasn't Ray Charles.
And one ain't his last name either.
Was Ray
Robinson. His last name?
Yeah, Ray Robinson.
The reason they named him Wonder because when they were leaving by himself, his ass would just take off.
Or it's a wonder, or his talents
Steve
or a wonder.
Wonder. So you know what?
Oh
he said, huh?
His talents or
that's
a wonder.
That's how he got the name, Steve Wonder. His ass would always just take off by itself. I said, you know what, Steve, your ass Wonder. So he just, they told him so much, he just dropped the ass part and just went with Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, that is not his last name. Yeah, he's been fooling us the whole time.
Man,
yeah,
that's his brother couldn't even see where he at.
That's
it. Stevie Wonder. That was they want to know
what's
how he going. How the hell y'all losing? Where's Stevie? Stevie Wonder.
It's hyphenated. He's named after his mama and his dad.
Somebody won't be saying Stevie Wonder. When they looking for him, that's what they said. Stevie Wonder. That mean he gone off. Listen, I can't. Listen, I'm finna go on the road. I'm here. I'm finna find me somebody. I'm finna go on the road.
Oh.
Yeah, he was named after his mama and his daddy last name. I guess because they weren't married, and then later on he had to change it again, or whatever the case may be.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Oh yeah. That's something I didn't know. Steve Land Hardaway Morris.
What?
Hardaway Morris. He got two last names because his parents were not married.
Steve Lynn Hardaway?
Morris. Hardaway Morris. Steve Lynn Hardaway Morris.
Oh, wow. Ooh,
yeah, he got two last names. He was named after his mama and after his daddy.
Oh, okay. Oh, excuse me. Okay.
You were talking about talked about Aretha. So we talked about Aretha.
That had nothing to do with Stevie Wonder.
And they talked about two. Well, we talking about
I
two
never saw
homes.
Aretha and Stevie Wonder. I just never put them together.
No. When you said Aretha, it made me think of Stevie.
You shouldn't.
Oh, he
have.
Music
I thought
back.
About a woman. You shouldn't have thought about no man. You should have thought about another woman.
Because we was talking about two parents, marriage, and his name. He actually named after both his parents. He wasn't married, so he took on both. He has two last names. Took on from his mom.
So is he a bad child? Is he a bad child?
He can't see.
That's tight. That is very tight. Are we serious?
That's tight.
That's
tight.
Stevie actually was a bad kid, though. Y'all know that, though, right?
What? Okay.
Why was he
was
a, why was
he
a
was,
bad
he
kid?
Was a bad. No, he was for real. He used to cuss his mother out and stuff. But he was really rough.
How do you know?
Yeah,
you
say
I heard.
Bad I had to write a book on him in school. I did.
I remember.
That's been over. Yeah, that's probably been 40 years ago. So I had to write about it.
Yeah.
I was shocked about that and learned about him.
And the book told you that.
Yeah. He said he was really distant. Him and his mom relationship was really distant. He said like he never seen his mom since that day.
What you say, Dwayne?
They say they say he wouldn't see her. Yeah, they say his mom. They said that, his mama called, so she was coming over. Said Steve said I don't want to see her.
Yep, that's facts.
I don't know where it's going, but it's fact.
Oh,
and to this day, he never seen her.
That is so lame. That's terrible. Terrible, guys.
You know, people try to say that he was a terrible father, too.
Why?
See, when he got kids?
Cause they say he got kids. They say he was a terrible father because they say he would never see his kids.
Oh, that's tight.
Terrible.
That's tight.
That's so terrible.
That's tight.
Listen, true or false?
That's true.
That's true.
So now the question becomes, can you not see your kids and be a good father? Because you got to drag Ray Charles in it, too. And the five blind boys.
Ooh.
Oh,
does that make you a good? Does that make you a terrible bad father if you don't see your kids? Yes or no? Come on, somebody call in and tell them.
929-477-2762. 929-477-2762.
Oh, yeah, Faster.
I will. But anyway, yeah. So you say if you don't see your father, if your father, what you say? Pose the question again,
if the
please.
Father, if he never sees his kid, is he a bad father? Yes or no? Call in, call us. It won't be safe.
If he never sees his kids, is he a bad father?
Because you're going to explain that to Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles and the five blind boys.
Ooh.
Are they
bad?
Five
blind boys are Alabama. Control. I don't think so.
Well, still, hold on. That's not the question. Well, let's go with that. it could be out of his control. How about fathers that never seen their kid and it was out of their control? They was incarcerated or the mother took them and hit them.
Uh-oh, we got a call. Caller, where you calling from?
Hi, welcome to the show.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Like we want them. How you doing? I'm on that stick.
I'm doing just fine, sir.
Yes, he is. Sorry.
So, answer to your question, I say no. If they can't see their kids.
If they never see their kid.
I say no.
You said no. What's the question now? Are they a bad father?
If a father never sees his kids, is he a bad father?
Okay. And she said no. Okay.
Elaborate, Carl. Explain a little more. Justify your answer.
Well, I mean, if they're supporting their child, I mean, some people can't, like he said earlier, some people can't see their kids. Some people still have means of support, you know, maybe through family members and things like that. Some things are just out of their control, but they're still supporting some type of way. And if you can't see them, I mean, no, they're not. No.
So are you talking about finance? When you say support, what do you mean when you say support?
Finance.
Okay, so as long as they send money.
Mothers, you know, you have grandparents that step in sometimes whenever the dad is not there.
Mm-hmm. I got you. I totally understand. I totally agree.
Thank you for your point of view, ma'am.
I appreciate you for calling
Thank
in,
you.
Caller.
Enjoy the rest of the show.
Yeah.
We got a new caller. Where they calling from? Is this new caller calling from England?
Hi, welcome to the
Eagles.
Show. I don't know where you're calling from.
Caller, you calling from Eagles Grocery Store. For what reason my co-host
wanted to know? Did he say Eagles or English? I mean England.
He said from England.
England, the country.
Yes, we got callers all over the globe calling.
You called us. You're on the air.
Yeah.
Sorry for all this. Hi, welcome to the show. Caller, did you mean to come on the line?
Hello?
Yes, there you go.
Hello?
Okay, no, I didn't hear the normal you are now. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Oh, how y'all
sorry.
Doing this evening?
Hey, how are you?
How are you?
Oh, I can't complain.
All right. Talk to
Tell them what's going on tonight.
Well, first, I just want to say I appreciate y'all. I appreciate the platform. I'm just I'm at home about smoking some hemp and all. What was that question about the
neighbor? Yeah, you don't smoke too much. You don't remember the question, huh? Go ahead. Now, what you want to call it?
I just
want
to make sure.
Just want to make sure. The question was if a father never sees his kids, never, does that make him a bad father? I said no. Tula said,
no,
I think first yes, depend on.
No.
Just think about how many fathers who never even knew.
Yeah,
they were fathers. So
that's
you,
right.
so what
right.
happened?
Right.
I mean, but yeah, it is. And then so now you think about you never knew you was a father, and I never seen my kid. Am I a bad father? Because
right.
I never knew. You look at the guys who, the girl got pregnant. She moved after she had the baby, or while during the pregnancy. So I never seen the kid, and I don't know how to get in touch with. Kid gets grown, comes back, hates me. Why you hate me? Because you wanted my life. You never seen me. You never came around. You never. Or what if the mother threatens if he comes say father's on probation, okay? Him and her fall out during the pregnancy and, you know, toward the end. And she threatens him with, you know what, I'm going to call the police. I'm going to lie. I'm going to tell them you hit me. And I'm pregnant. And you going back. They're going to send you to prison. And he thinks, man, I ain't trying to go back to jail. If you'll do something like that, I don't want nothing. I'm telling you, listen, I know women that grind me.
Hold on.
That's
did
real.
You get the caller a chance to answer the question? Are we
I think the caller rolling
with us.
I agree.
He said he was on him. He didn't remember. He said, ask him what the question
I
was
see.
Again.
Okay,
so I'm just explaining
real.
For my reason why I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? These are
these are
reasons people don't think about. You see what I'm saying? Why I'm saying. I'm no. Guys who don't see their kids because they just don't give a damn about them. And I'm like, no, hell no, he's not. But I'm talking about people that have legitimate reason. And these are reasons people don't even think about. Man, let me tell you something. I have dealt with women that have flat lied. I'm talking about called the police, had me, I was arrested, I tell you, for rape. I had to go turn myself in for rape. You know how embarrassing that? I seen Tupac, that clip, he was talking about that, and you can see, I felt that hurt. You're like, man, rape a woman, listen, one thing it never had to do is rape any bastard that rapes a woman, the bastard ought to be dead. There's absolutely no reason to rape no woman. And I'm talking about this is broad daylight. So you talking about just now, just say I had gotten back with her, okay? And me and her, she got pregnant, okay? And now toward the end of the pregnant, we had a little problem already. She said, you know what? I'm going to call the police on you again. And I'm gonna lie on you, and I'm going to tell them you raped me, and you pulled a gun at me. And I'm on parole, a probation. I got 15-year probation. I can't afford to come around you. I want to see my kid, but if I make up some mess, or like just say I'm finna come over here and I see and I come with attorney. Attorney can get me. I'm just using a scenario. The attorney get me. We go to court. Boom, we got that. Okay. I come see the kid. She calls the police. I'm in here and say he just hit my baby. And he threatened to kill my baby and me. You see what I'm saying? And I know she that type of person. I can't come around you. I'm not going to try and be bothered with the kid because I don't want to go to jail. Am I a bad father? I just use a scenario. Why?
I don't get the psyche in that with the women and wanting the men, the dads, to go to jail. I really just don't get it.
Because
if I'm in jail,
let me tell
what
you,
am
the
I
average
doing?
Woman,
if I have a record, what can I do? It's retarded.
But guess what? It's not about him having the right. It's about destroying his life. It's about having that control to make sure he's never with another woman. And when he does, when it ever comes up, he
and
has to
like
admit,
like
I don't see my kid. So what happened?
I said people don't, good girls like bad boys. So if they go to jail, it ain't like they going to get nobody, you know.
But I'm just saying, it's, when you were, like I mentioned with the young lady that had me arrested, I had to go turn myself in for rape. You know, I had to, you know, go through that.
Okay.
Well,
go ahead.
You
didn't I'm listening now.
Then,
I'm listening now.
We need not to. You just, listen.
Get your private eyes. I'm listening now. You definitely got to tell this story. Go ahead.
So, if just say, had I gone. Now, listen. This is a woman I never got back with. I ain't never been nobody and screw my life.
How
up.
Long
that
were you dating
guy.
Her? Or were you dating her?
Oh, shit. Well, that's a whole nother story. We had been dating, but then I was with somebody else. That's how that whole thing kicked
that's
up.
That's your M.O. Yeah. Okay.
And I mean, me and Tupac got. I didn't never like Tupac.
I get around.
Again, you know what I'm saying? That's how I get around. That means he's like,
yeah.
I got around.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
choosing
love us.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You'd have been so proud of me. So, listen, but just saying, knowing that she would do that, okay? And
right.
Just say hypothetically, I had got back with her. She got pregnant. Here we are toward the term end. She's like 8 months or something, or whatever. Whatever kicked up, and she said, "You know what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna call the police again. I'm gonna tell." And just so happened during this time now. Also, I have a criminal record, and I'm on probation.
Wow. Yeah.
So if she went and said, "I hit the baby, I punched on her stomach, and put a gun in her head," these folks coming for me with everything. So now it's like. No, I'm done with her. And it might now my probation might be 2-3 years. You know, I'm going to get with her. But then I had to think about, this is the type of person that will go and steal this. You know, so now just say if I took that approach, would I be, I'm not talking around, but if you understand, would I, on that scenario you heard, would you say I was a bad father?
No.
And I was making excuses for not seeing my kids. No. Do y'all know how many people actually in real life deal with this?
Yeah.
A lot of time, our sister, I'm being with you. Y'all, not, you know, it ain't everyone about long, but y'all can be grimy. I mean, they just sick. You know what I'm saying?
We can.
And that's scary.
Is the man
really the head and in control of the relationship, or is only as much as the woman will allow?
That's it right there. That part right there. That last little bit right there.
That's it.
That's the truth.
That is it.
So, Tony, you're welcome.
So, you said Tony, welcome. I don't do that one.
Wait a minute. Is our caller still here? Yeah, caller. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah,
you have to ask?
Yeah, I'm still on
that. I apologize.
Not too much. I just enjoy listening to it, learning. Definitely informative. Once again, I appreciate the platform. Every year I had to come visit the neighborhood. You know, everybody was complaining, so, you know, I had to. Had to go and find some way, but I still have.
Yeah.
Man, listen, and it's sad that, you know, our kids are being damaged through.
Did he say something?
You know, let me say that bad, terrible men, bad, terrible women. You know, both ends are winning.
Both.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I mean, not necessarily both. I gave you a scenario, and this is actually happened. I had a friend of mine. I met. We were friends for a while. Do you know that guy? His girlfriend, and we were drug dealers, she called the police and put dope on him, drugs on him.
He
was
put it
arrested.
On him?
Listen, his drug, called the police, put it on him, and came down there to burn him out. Because she looked at, I wanted to know where you were. You know what I'm saying? You don't call the police on me with drugs. Yes. Listen, I know a woman. I talked to her first. What the Most High. Give him all the kaboom. Did not go nowhere. We didn't get, you know what I'm saying? Just things trigger for me. some stuff she said. I moved on. Somebody else I know, David. Mm-hmm. Do you know she burned up his motorcycle, pulled gas, came in, snuck on him, burned it up. Saved the police. You hear me? Just so she could tell him about what he was doing and had him arrested.
She dated a police to do that?
Listen, why she was dating him, honestly, and told him everything. This messed up. Listen, you don't see New Jack City?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying it, but I was
kidding. $1 million business reduced to rubble.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, reduced to rubble. Listen, Ben would come see him. You hear me? In jail, he never knew this. And then when she did that, she brought a car down there and got it stolen.
Hmm?
Guess how it all come out?
How?
He got into it with her cousin. And her cousin was pissed and let her mouth go. And told him, that's why all this happened. Listen,
and what did
the
he
whole
do?
Time she was right there. And she dated the police to see him go to jail. That's how much she let him want to control him. Felt like he was cheating on him. So I try
was
to tell
he,
it. When I tell these
though,
brothers,
was,
I tell
I know you know him, but was he cheating on her? I'm just curious.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But this is you ain't married. You kind of claim you're not married.
Hey, it ain't cheating if you ain't trying.
Hold on, stop. It ain't cheating if you ain't trying.
You ain't trying if you ain't cheating.
I can't tell it to you because I ain't gay. But, I mean, you're in the street. It's the fact that, okay, break up. Move on. Why
that's
the
right.
hell you going to wreck somebody, total life, burn up their shit, set up other people? I mean, just create a whole life of destruction to a person. Do you know how scary that is?
That's scary. That must have been a really good 2 minutes.
Man, listen, I try to tell people. When I tell people don't do something, don't fool with it. Leave it alone. I done seen the end of a woman's rail. I have gone to jail.
Yeah.
Listen, I have gone to jail behind more than one. I mean, man, it's terrible. I mean, black women are terrible.
Yeah.
And I ain't saying it this time. Tell them. Tell them, Tony.
I'm talking about the ones who can be, I mean, shoot, I tell my boy.
That's just facts.
I tell people, you know what, you know what people don't like to ask me about my opinion on somebody they dating or whether they want to, you know, what you think? They try to avoid me and stay away from me. They got to come
I
around.
Understand.
If I see a person, I tell them something. Take what I said and move on. I've seen more than you'll ever see and more than you even thought about. I hear people talking about being a player, what they're doing. They don't know. Listen, I have lived a life. I watch people do stuff, and this stuff I pick up on people quick because I have seen so much stuff. I have done so much stuff. It don't take me long to pick you up and read you and say, you know, I wouldn't do it.
Right.
I get them, they'll try to pray their way. They'll try to figure around it. They'll try to hide and try to hold something. But once I put my eye and I watch a person, I already start agreeing. You already know where you're at. Okay, got you. Now, you can talk and you can do all the ones you want to do, but I assure you, I've seen enough that already let me know about you, and I know where I want to go with you. And you talking about, sign off on me. One thing about it, I keep a good scoring record when it comes down, I call it. Is that right, Lil Doc? Would you agree?
Yes, sir.
When I call it on, I tell them, listen, they'll try it anyway. They'll try to maneuver around and get it. I done seen it. I done been with the crazy. I done seen the psycho. Listen, I had another one. I didn't date another friend of mine. Listen, this girl, that's what I learned about bipolar. This girl with bipolar, it meant by protection. When I tell you she would come in, she dated a couple of friends of mine. She dated one friend of mine. Came to the club, sprayed mason in face.
Oh.
Listen, he told her, wait till he got that shit out of his face. You know, she stood right there and waited for it to come out.
Really? Why?
Oh.
She'll fight. Listen, you got to kill her.
What?
Listen. I done seen something so beautiful. Listen, ain't goddamn air between one ear to the other. Don't try it. Don't do it. I done seen. Listen, every friend I know that dated done had to fight. I'm talking about, she'll take it. He stomped out, kicked up on the car, everything. This girl will not stop. This thing is a damn Terminator. When I tell people leave folks alone, like, unless you want to be sitting in prison because you got to kill somebody crazy, it ain't worth it.
Yeah, man.
It ain't worth it. It ain't nobody worth that. Your peace of mind, I ain't never had, I never gone back to no woman crazy. I know you crazy. Man, we done. I ain't even think about that twice. No, it made common sense.
You serious?
That's like when I told you, I was locked up for some shit. I ain't even getting no, it wasn't even half. It ain't, we had sex and she said we're rape, and that's my birth. We weren't had, listen, never did even happen. So we went no. It's not, this was not in the, after no sex act or we doing sex. You know what I'm saying? Or trying to have sex.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, I didn't rape her. This outside broad daylight in the summertime. And I grabbed her hand. I said, come out. I said, come and talk to you because she was pissed. You know, I was just. She said, leave me alone. I said, well, go ahead on hell. You know, and I left. Got that police number over there. Turn himself in. He need to turn himself. But they looked and realized this don't make sense. He raped you. Your clothes. They say your clothes ain't tore up. But of course they had to do their job. Rape. So what now?
You don't have to have torn clothes to be raped.
No, but I'm just saying they're looking at what you're saying. He will rape you. He tried to rape you. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to look for, is it scratching? The police looking at this. If somebody tried to rape you, you're a woman. Typically, the man is bigger, so you should have, like, scars, scratches, clothes torn.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
Nah, I disagree.
No, I'm just saying, you're not a police, so, you know, you ain't investigating a rape.
Don't do
you
that, too.
Somebody called you saying she was raped. You know, I mean, not
okay.
She raped. She was, I tried to rape her. They looking at, because it was never, we weren't hugging, we weren't dancing, we weren't rolling in the grass. This was nothing. But I'm just saying that to say, you know how some guys say, I didn't rape her, but we had sex. You see what I'm saying? None of that. When I tell you a black woman, how dangerous she is.
It's a bold-faced lie. You know the sad part, the worst part about that is she probably did it again to somebody else after you.
Man,
she probably
I wouldn't doubt it, man. I ain't never had nothing to say to her after that. I was disgusted. You know what I'm saying? The fact that you're like, It would be different. Even we were having sex, and you said, oh,
was she a pretty
girl? Sex on this mom.
Was she pretty? Listen, let me, it's something about them pretty girls. Because I ain't never had none of them accuse me of rape, but I had one of them lie on me like that. They lied on my house.
Okay,
over,
I hear that right quick.
Me and her, you know,
uh-oh.
Long story short, we had a good time. You know what I mean? We had a really good time.
Was she a big liar? And was she a big liar, too?
Listen. She told them kind of lies. Let me tell you this. This is what it boiled down to is this. She wanted to have a relationship, and I didn't want to have a relationship. So what she did, she went and she told the boys at school that I had beat her up and slapped her.
Oh.
So now after school, I got all these dudes ready to get on my behind. No, it's high school. I got all these dudes sitting ready to fight me because she done told her cousins that I put my hands on. And that I was abusing and I beat her up. Oh, yeah. It was real.
That's a real pretty girl.
I'm about to get that real school over there. Like, yeah, she was pretty now. She wasn't pretty on my head. I didn't see nothing pretty out of the end of that.
No, I'm saying where that lie come from. Ain't that girl? Cause you said she was pretty. And she made it. I want to fight your ass. Cause I can see you sitting here and beat this pretty girl up because she don't want to talk to you, and then you want to make up this story that you're gonna tell later on in life, and hopefully get on a radio show and you be a co-host and you're gonna tell the story and try to cover up when we find her ass and she tell us.
No.
Your ass
I'm agreeing.
On
I'm
him.
Agreeing with you. That didn't want to be
lying. Yeah, not all of them now.
No, I'm talking about, but watch out,
you
them friends with this bipolar, watch out for them, they'll lie on you.
Hold on for a minute. Did she tell you were good looking?
Did she tell me that she was good looking?
You heard
no,
the question.
No, that you were good looking, yeah.
Oh, listen, she had to tell me that. The record is played.
Hold on for a minute, hold on.
School, do you know
so she never told
queen?
You that.
Do you
she
know
never,
the homecoming
never
queen
told
asked me to be her prom date? The homecoming queen asked me to be her prom date. Let the record reflect. We do it right
hold
now.
Hold on a minute. Was she the homecoming?
My
you should see the homecoming queen
and
not the homecoming
night, so
queen. Hold on for a minute. This girl never told you you were good looking.
Listen, let the record reflect.
That's all I didn't know. That girl, so that means she had some morals. Some shit she wasn't going to lie about. That's what I said.
Hey, look here. Look here, all I'm saying, some of them women be lying. Don't let them women lie on you. Fellas, if a woman done lied on you before, know that if we got over it, you can make it through. Don't let that get you down, fellas. Somebody under the sound of my voice need healing and need deliverance today, and I'm talking to you, sharing that story with you, because today you are delivered.
Oh, my God. He's sad. That is crazy.
Okay.
You know that?
What?
Told y'all we're gonna have a good
love
show. Had a really good show. Put it a good show.
Was it? You tell these people, what'd you tell them to do? Yeah, it was. Hopefully we, you know, we learned some different stuff, we can do some different stuff. Yep.
Oh yeah. That is what it's all about. Relationships,
so
getting out here, understanding each other, because what it is to help out, you gotta start right here at the home. Learn how to work together as a team, the man,
right.
The woman, the male, working together, getting things done, accomplish together, one goal, one state, one goal, salvation, Silk's finest.
That's right. Leveling up, people. Men,
yeah,
level
right.
up. Women, level up.
So this ugly girl came out, and she told you, she knew she ugly, but she like, I'm not going to tell you that. Look, I'll lie about a lot of stuff. I'm not going to go this far, because one day I might want to get right and meet Pastor Thumb Smith. So, and then she went and told somebody, you beat her up. Well, why did she say you beat up?
Because she wouldn't go with I didn't want to be, well, because she found out I had a girlfriend. And
okay,
she didn't want to be in a relationship, so she said, you know, so that's all. She was just like what it is. You know what I mean?
You said you beat her up.
I'm telling you, I ain't back there in them streets, man. I'm telling you, it's cold out there in them streets. See, y'all see the glory, but y'all don't know the story.
We don't.
Man, you ain't been on
this
one.
And we ain't interested.
We don't see your blood. We already know ain't no damn story.
I ain't there in them streets, man. Oh, yeah, I'd be way out there in the streets.
I'm
going to
hit Jerry and told us it ain't no story.
We have to
Oh, we got to go to go listen. Hey, we appreciate you guys for listening and putting your input. Hey, if nobody told you they're a hobby, we're a hobby. Don't forget, every Thursday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, right here. We a hobby, a hobby, a hobby.
Yeah.
Love
you. All
right.
Who loves you, baby? Who loves you?
Women. Oh, my gosh. Anytime you want. You know what? Forget it.
We're about to take it back, back, back.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the most listened to radio show on the planet.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Tony and Sue Lee on the radio. The love doctor trying to teach on the radio. We about to get live on the radio. Two mics and a mind on the radio.
Radio. Radio, turned up on the radio. Radio, radio, turned up on the radio. Radio, radio, turned up on the radio. Radio, radio, turned up on the radio.
And of mine.
All right, you do something better, I'll do something better. We'll be better together. Don't forget to level up. Good night, Dwayne.
Night, night.